Does Monday at the office feel like a storm? Not with Microsoft Copilot. That feeling when Copilot gets everyone up to speed instantly? It's sunny again. When Copilot simplifies complex data so your teams can act, that sun's shining on a beach. And when Copilot uncovers hidden insights, you're on that beach with your people and you find buried treasure. That's Microsoft Copilot. Learn more at Microsoft.com/AI for all.
Getting engaged is a moment worth cherishing. A one-of-a-kind ring that you design at Blue Nile can help your love sparkle. Just choose your diamond and setting. When you've found the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Finding the right engagement ring can be nerve-wracking. At Blue Nile, you'll have the expert guidance needed and a diamond guarantee that ensures you're getting the highest quality at the best price. Cherish all of life's moments and save up to 30% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening. Welcome to this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. We've been away for a while, but when you look at the Raiders' schedule, when you look at key positional matchups, the one they bring in is breaks down film like no other. Your friend of mine, Ryan Holmes. Good evening, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. It has been a while. It's time to record another podcast and get this out to our listeners.
I agree, man. Now, we need to talk. Pretty much kind of break it down, because the Raiders, people want to say they have a hard schedule, but we actually broke it down and you saw them as a 10-win team. But within that, they will face challenges left and right. So I'm just going to kind of grow through position by position and position grouping, I should say, and see where it's, you know, what's what. When you look at cornerbacks, I'll start with cornerbacks. You have Humphrey and Peters in Baltimore. We had just mentioned off air how we didn't think that Carr would find them. Now, other than Humphreys and Peters, what other corners do you think that will give the Raiders a hard time?
Well, my mind immediately goes to the Denver Broncos because they took Patrick Surtain in the first round. They picked up, I believe, Kendall Fuller from the Bears. So those are two pretty good outside corners. They have Bryce Callahan in the slot. I want to say Ronald Darby is over there as well. So that's a good foursome out in Denver. They have to face twice a year. And Denver has a pass rush as well. So I think they're going to give the Raiders some problems in the passing game. They also have great safeties when we get to the safety talk. But the Raiders are going to have to bring their big boy pants and run the football against Denver and get a lead. They can't play from behind against them with those cornerbacks they have out there.
I have an odd one, like an odd position group, like an odd cornerback group that may not automatically come to mind, but let me kind of flesh out the logic. The Washington football team, you got Kendall Fuller and William Jackson III. Now, when you look at Jackson, he's not really a ball hawking type. I think he has 3 career interceptions. Fuller might have a few more. If you add in Jimmy Moreland, who has never been beat for a touchdown in 2 years, it's not so much what they do, it's the players in front of them. Washington has a serious pass rush with Young, Payne, Allen, Montez Sweat. They have the horses to give the Raiders problems without having to send extra blitzers. And the cornerback's best friend is a pass rush. And we've seen how Carr responds under pressure. Do you think that the Raiders will have the edge athletically with their wide receivers versus the Washington corners, but do you think that the athleticism is enough to stymie a ferocious front four?
Well, I will make a correction. I think I said Kendall Fuller. Obviously, like you said, he's on the Redskins. I meant Kyle Fuller with the Broncos. They came over there. But as far as Washington, they do have a fearsome front four. They probably go 6 or 7 deep. It's beyond the front four. But it's going to allow those corners to play better. The Raiders are going to have to block those guys up. And Colton Miller and Alex Leatherwood, welcome to the NFL. Here comes Chase Young and Montez Sweat off the edges, and they're going to have to help in the middle as well with those two interior rushers with Payne and Allen. But, yeah, that's going to be a ball control, short underneath, quick routes, run the football, play action, and try to take advantage of the linebackers, because that's how you're going to have to beat Washington, is throw against the linebackers. I know they took Davis in the first round at Kentucky, but he's a rookie. And Darren Waller should win those matchups against most linebackers, especially a rookie. Foster Moreau would be a big part of that game plan. And then, obviously, Kenyon Drake out of the backfield, as well as Josh Jacobs matching up in the pass game. So there are going to be some matchups here where the Raiders are going to be looking for big production on the outside with Ruggs and Edwards, but it's just not going to happen. Gruden's not going to design game plans to challenge those guys, and if he does, Carr doesn't take those kind of shots unless it's one-on-one coverage and the guy open by a couple of yards, which is hard to do against those sets of corners. But both of those teams present tremendous challenges. We kind of glossed over Baltimore briefly because we talked about that off air, but Baltimore, Denver, Washington, those are going to be games where hopefully the Raiders' defense shows up, because they're not going to score 30-plus points in those contests.
I agree. I just don't see the explosion from the team, especially with the ability of the opponent to get home. Now, if we stay in the defensive backfield and you see safeties, which safety combination should worry the Raiders?
Well, we got the Chargers. We don't out there with Derwin James back healthy, and then Nasir Adderley, who's a promising young player, and they got a new coach coming in and Staley to help run that defense, which they run a lot of too high. So I'd look there. You know, the Raiders are going to have to play them twice, and they have a good safety combination. We talked briefly about Denver with Justin Simmons, and I want to say Kareem Jackson ended up back there, and they took two safeties in the draft as well. So within the division, the Raiders are going to face some pretty good safeties, and I didn't even bring up the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, over in Kansas City. So there's going to be some tough matchups there within the division in the deep center to Derek Carr to battle.
See, I worry about Carr because, for me, it's – I look at when they play the Steelers, they have, you know, Mika Fitzpatrick is – he's worrisome because he can fit a multitude of roles. And you know the ball finds him. He just one of those things that it was one of those trades when you looked at what Pittsburgh gave up, you kind of scratched your head. But then when you saw him on the field, you kind of understood they have a long-term solution at safety. I think that with that Pittsburgh pass rush, and I want to see how they replace Bud Dupree, I want to see how Fitzpatrick and Carr kind of play that chess game. But if we keep moving – kind of
I would add that I'm not a big fan of Edmonds, the other safety in Pittsburgh, which is the reason why I didn't choose them.
Yeah, he would be the liability. It's an issue. It's a problem. It's a circumstance with him, but he is definitely going to be the one that they will pick on now. Linebacker core, I know that because of a 3-4 or 3, we will stick with which 4-3 linebacker core to start with will be the most troublesome, in your opinion?
You know, just looking at it, I would lean towards either the Colts with Darius Leonard in the middle or even Dallas with picking up Micah Parsons, depending on how the Dallas linebacker core breaks out. Within the division, there's not a lot of great linebacker cores between the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Broncos, so I would move on from them. Khalil Mack, obviously, Chicago's in a 3-4, so we're not going to go there. So I would probably lean towards I would say the Colts, just because you have Darius Leonard, who is a pro, all-pro level middle linebacker. And they have a – I think it's Bobby Okereke. I'm probably saying that, right?
Yep. The guy from Stanford.
Yeah, he's a good player, too. So they've got two pretty good, fast, instinctual linebackers there on the second level in Indianapolis.
I look at that, and you mentioned the Cowboys. The Cowboys actually got younger, replaced Sean Lee, and they have a – pretty solid linebacker core. For me,
Parsons, Jabril Cox they drafted. They still have Leighton Vander Esch, depending on his health. So they've got some guys that can play. The health is the question mark, and then the youth with that
group. Exactly. The health and youth. And I would have to agree with the Cowboys because of that speed, because of the ability to not just cover, not just flow versus the run game, but also Micah Parsons off the edge will be screaming towards the quarterback, and it's an extra blitzer that we hope that Carr will see. Now, since we're going to kind of go, you know, towards the line of scrimmage, the 3-4 linebackers, you mentioned Denver. I agree. And the Bears, which I know the Raiders played the Bears twice. Oh, sorry, the Raiders played the Broncos twice, but the Bears, they do have Khalil Mack is there, and the Broncos have Von Miller. Do you think that this is the year that Bradley Chubb continues to kind of build and kind of have a breakout year, and what could the Raiders do to stop him?
It's interesting because the Raiders have always seemed to have success blocking up Chubb and Miller when they're both on the field. I think Colton Miller's played very well against Bradley Chubb. Chubb, I want to say, was double digits last year, 10, 11 sacks, somewhere in that range, working by himself without Miller. The issue is going to be on the right side where you have Alex Leatherwood, as good as potential he has to prove it, especially in the pass game. We know what he can do as a run blocker. He's not going to be left one-on-one in that division against Bosa, Miller, Khalil Mack when he comes in. So they're going to have to rely on either running backs helping and chipping, keeping a tight end in to help on that side. But there's a lot of pass rushers that could give the Raiders trouble. T.J. Watt working on that defensive left side against the rookie right tackle is another name that pops to mind. Cleveland's going to come into town. They have Jadeveon Clowney, Myles Garrett. So the Raiders are going to face a fearsome pass rush on a fairly consistent basis this year, week in and week out. But, yeah, I would lean towards Denver, playing them twice with those two guys on the outside, assuming Von Miller is healthy. That's going to be a tough matchup.
I agree. And I like Chubb. And I even like Malik Reed, who was stepped in last year and kind of gave them a boost off the bench. And it's one of those things that, you know, here are teams with a bunch of multiple pass rushers. Who would have thought that pass rush could be a key to actually teams winning games? Things that we learn.
They're hard to find.
In the NFL. Right? I've heard this. We come back from break, we will definitely – right? Let me – while we go to break, I want to look up who actually said that. You are listening to the FPC Raiders podcast on the Full Press Coverage Network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, Quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
We are back with the Full Press Raiders podcast. Terrence Figs, Ryan Holmes. Ryan, look at the offensive line. I think with the, when they play the Colts may have the best offensive line that the Raiders face all season. Quentin Nelson is just a nightmare. And they have surrounding talent, even though he might be the best guard in the league. They do have, if you look at it, Eric Fisher actually is good when Khalil Mack's nowhere around him. You have Nelson, you have Ryan Kelly, Mark Lewinsky, and Braden Smith. That's a pretty decent offense. That's a damn good line. And do you think that the Raiders will have to blitz more, or do you think that since Gus Bradley's not really known for his blitzing per his last couple of years in San Diego, what will the Raiders have to do to generate pressure versus the Colts?
Yeah, and unfortunately, Eric Fisher is going to be out probably till mid-October, but the Raiders don't play them until January. So he should be, barring any setbacks, be in the lineup for that matchup. They're going to have to run games. They're not going to win one-on-one matchups a lot in that game, so they're going to have to do some twists, some stunts. They're going to have to bring overload blitzes from one side occasionally in the right down and distance. The good news for Raiders fans is Carson Wentz is going to be taking snaps there, who makes very bad decisions and turns the ball over at a high rate. So hopefully the Raiders get that version of Carson Wentz at that point of the season, and they can force a couple of turnovers. But it's a game where you also got to stop the run. They're a very good run-blocking team, probably better run-blocking than pass-blocking. So, and they have running backs. They have a stable out over there with Jonathan Taylor, and I'm pretty sure Mack is back, or Marlon Mack re-signed there. Wilkins is another option, Nakeem Hines in the backfield. So that's going to be a very difficult matchup for the Raiders on the road January 2nd.
They have a bunch of running backs in that backfield. I just think that, you said, Wentz is the help in this. Wentz is the guy that, he messes up, man, that's fine. You know, it's going to go Las Vegas' way, but if he plays under control and actually doesn't revert to who we all think he is, he should be all right. Now, tight ends. The AFC West is full of tight ends, just full of them. And we know for the longest time, the Raiders have struggled from even going back to days of Malcolm Smith. We've talked about Crockett Gilliard, who, that's a name that people have long forgotten, but I'll always remember. He was a guy who, I want to say he scored, he beat them for two touchdowns. And I think that over his career, he scored four in his whole career. Him, Kyle Rudolph, just endless streams. Antonio Gates terrorized it for years. Tony Gonzalez terrorized it for years. What tight end do you see, or what tight end group do you see them kind of scuffling with now?
Well, the easy answer to say Travis Kelce, but I'll remove him from the equation. I'm going to go to Baltimore. They run a lot of, you know, two and three tight end sets. The Raiders are going to have to stop the run. They like to run a lot of play action there. When that running game gets going, those tight ends, Nick Boyle, Mark Andrews is a Pro Bowler. They're tough matchups. And what they do in that offense, it's scheme for the tight ends more so than the wide receivers. So the Raiders will have their hands full, A, stopping the run week one against Baltimore, containing Lamar Jackson. But keep an eye on those tight ends. Those are big weapons for him in the passing game, because when Lamar Jackson wants to throw the ball over the middle and get big chunk plays, he's going to Mark Andrews.
I see it similarly, but then I look at, I wanted to, you know, kind of mention the throw the Broncos in conversation, but I can't trust Drew Lock, so I don't really trust their offense. I mean,
no,
it's just, I can't, like, and that's messed up because they have such young talent all over that offense, but they also have Drew Lock, Drew Lock and Garrett Bowles. And it's just a giant no for that. And another one that kind of sneaks up on you are the Cleveland Browns. Austin Hooper, Harrison Bryant, David Njoku. Njoku is should have been the big play tight end. Bryant and Hooper are kind of grinding it out, guys, but they also are decent run after catch. They're not going to beat you down the seam, but they're going to make the sure catch and possibly get that 15 to 20 yard run, like that rumble, if you will. Now, spreading out and going to wide receivers, I wanted to say that the Chiefs wideouts, but that's kind of a given considering who their head coach is and how he schemed. I kind of want to talk about the Browns wideouts. You said something that kind of stuck with me, how the Browns may have the most talented team in the league if you kind of ignore the quarterback.
Yeah, I believe that. And we're assuming Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be healthy, but him and Jarvis Landry, Rashard Higgins is a good receiver out there. That's going to be a tough matchup. I have another team circled on the schedule when it comes to the wideouts, and it's in Dallas. The Raiders are going to have to match up not only with Amari Cooper, but you have CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup. So there's two guys right there the Raider fans have circled. They have to stop Amari Cooper, and they have to stop CeeDee Lamb from going off when Henry Ruggs is on the other side. And then don't forget about Michael Gallup. Michael Gallup went in the first round instead of the third round. We'd be talking about him as a much better player than people do. They're sleeping on him. He's a very good wide receiver, and you're going to have Dak Prescott throwing the ball back there, health permitting there towards the end of the season. I believe that game that's the Thanksgiving game. So on Thanksgiving on national TV, the Raiders have to figure out how to stop those wideouts. Good luck.
And you know that Amari Cooper, I mean, as quiet as he is, you know he's looking at that schedule because.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he did resurrect, he had a good career in Oakland. He was a good receiver in Oakland when he was targeted. But he, his route running is phenomenal. They show him abusing poor Jalen Mills, and then they showed him, you know, just destroying people with just the simple nuance of the route running, which he had at Bama and which he's definitely perfected in Dallas. And I worry about Damon Arnett. I do. That is a giant concern. I know they have Casey Hayward, who apparently has been working on the outside more, which I thought that he would be like the slot guy. So that kind of has me wondering, they're not going to put Damon Arnett in a slot, do you think?
Well, it's all signs are pointing to that being the number one option in the slot. I don't know how much I trust that. Maybe in a zone-based cover three scheme they can get away with it, but he's still going to have to play man. And does he have the quickness to be able to change directions with those smaller, shiftier guys? And to me, the bigger issue is, does he have the physicality to stick his head in there in the run game and be a run defender? And are those concussion issues going to be long-term? Is it going to be an issue where, you know, every – you know, two or three times a season, he's sticking his head in there. We don't know if he's going to get up or not. So there's a lot of concerns with Damon Arnett. The good news is apparently he's up to, you know, mid-195-pound range. There was reports that he was playing at 172 pounds last year when he got injured because he couldn't lift weights. And then with the concussion, he wasn't really working out. So maybe we didn't see the real Damon Arnett. So he may be able to surprise Raider fans this year. I'm hoping for that because they took him in the first round. We need a productive player out of that spot. But it does sound like Casey Hayward is going to line up opposite Trayvon Mullen, barring a breakout camp from Arnett, and Arnett's going to have to figure out how to get on the field.
And then I look at a guy like Amit Robinson, like, is he ever going to get a legit shot here?
It's tough because in the Gus Bradley defensive scheme, and you can go to all of the branches of it and all the different guys, Dan Quinn, Ken Norton Jr., they like those long, lengthy corners, and he's not that guy on the outside. And I know there were some reports that Amik Robertson, Gus Bradley liked his cover skills on the outside, but I can't think of 5'9" corner that started on the outside in this scheme. That's a tough ask for anybody. So he's going to have to figure out a way to fight for snaps inside. It always bothered me that he didn't play special teams much last year either. For a physical guy that could hit, that was little, that could run, why did he not show up on special teams? Why did John Gruden and Rich Versace not incorporate him there, at least get him on the field? But Amik Robertson is going to be battling for that last corner spot. I think he's going to make the team, but I don't see him getting a ton of meaningful snaps if those other three guys stay healthy.
And that's the part that, you know, I just don't want it to turn out to be yet another blown pick because it seems like those are stockpiling. But
have you even heard the name Isaiah Johnson all off season? I haven't heard it once. Like, where is Isaiah Johnson?
Not one time. You
figure like, with his length and size, he's the ideal guy in this. But you hear more about Hobbs, obviously, the rookie. You hear a lot about Hayward. You hear about Arnett. You hear about Mullen. Like, they're only going to carry 5, maybe 6 corners. It's going to be a real battle for those 5th and 6th corner spots.
Here's a question.
I was going to say that, and they just brought in Bray Wilson from the Falcons. They just signed another free agent corner. So obviously there's something they didn't like so far during the OTAs where they needed to add another piece. And we haven't even mentioned Rasul Douglas. So the Raiders have a ton of defensive backs on this roster.
And chances are a couple of those veterans are going to make the team, and a couple of younger players will either go practice squad or get cut. And if they cut one of their draft picks in the 2nd or 3rd year, the intensity of the hot seat will find its way to Mike Mayock. This is not Gruden. Gruden is safe as long as he wants to coach his team. Folks need to let that stuff go.
Yeah, he's not on the hot seat.
No. He actually bought the seat. He actually owns the house that the seat is located in, so it's not really him going to be that upset. Now, of all the running backs that you face, which one tends to concern you, like be the most worrisome?
Well, I want to say Lamar Jackson and include him in the running back group, but I won't do that in here. But I'm going to go – I have the New York Giants at New York, Saquon Barkley. That one kind of concerns me. It's an early game. It's a 10 o'clock game, middle of the season. The Raiders coming off a bye. Weather could be a factor. And we know what Saquon Barkley is when he's healthy. He's an elite top 3, top 4 running back in the NFL. And that's a game the Raiders have to win in the middle of the season to keep playoff hopes alive. It's not we don't want to know what their record is at that point, but with the schedule they have coming up after that, they have to win that game because they play Kansas City, Dallas, Washington, Kansas City, Cleveland, Denver, the Colts, the Chargers. So I have that circled as a must-win game, probably, not even knowing how the schedule is going to play out. 10 o'clock game against a healthy Saquon Barkley. I would go there. I would circle that one.
I would circle that one, and I have a couple that may seem kind of odd, but Antonio Gibson, and
yep.
Because he has the ability, and legitimately, not the Kenyon Drake, John Gruden fantasy ability of lining up in a slot. Antonio Gibson lined up in the slot a lot at Memphis. He can line up anywhere on the field for the team. Still can't believe they just picked the Washington football team. But, yeah, for the Washington football team. And I look at him because the versatility, and he's going to force Gus Bradley to not change what he does, but kind of look – at different looks. And another one is
Cleveland, obviously. We kind of have that one with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb.
Yep. One of the intriguing ones,
too.
Like the quiet one, because of everything that happened with their team, the Eagles depth chart. Kenneth Gainwell, Kerryon Johnson, Boston Scott, and Miles Sanders. Now, none of these guys are superstars by any stretch of the imagination. However, they all have cutback ability, quicks, and the ability to get to the boundary. Not saying that Kerryon Johnson's a burner. He's not. But a guy like Kenneth Gainwell is a problem. He is another guy who can line up actually in the slot and has caught passes as a slot wideout. These guys worry me because I'm not sure if the Raiders have enough in that secondary to be able to stay with a wideout that can slide into the slot and actually run a full tree. Now, quarterback, there are so many good quarterbacks that they face, but which quarterback do you think, outside of Patrick Mahomes, because, well, the obvious, that should provide a challenge?
I'm going right back to week one. Lamar Jackson is a challenge. The Raiders haven't seen a quarterback with his ability to run the ball, and he's an underrated passer. He's not Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, you know, those Tom Brady kind of guys throwing the ball, but he's good enough throwing the ball. But his ability to change a game on a dime, get out of pressure, and turn a sack into a 60-yard touchdown is – and we've only seen it really with Michael Vick. Maybe I'm going to show my age here, Randall Cunningham kind of guy when they get out. But he's going to provide all kinds of challenges, because if the Raiders can stop that running game and get them into third and six, third and eight, you think you're in a good spot, and the next thing you know, he's out the back door for 30. So the Raiders are going to have to figure out how to stop Lamar Jackson when it's third down and medium to long, and not give those explosive plays. And that's not even – we're not even talking about taking away some of the passing options with Mark Andrews, who we mentioned, Hollywood Brown on the outside, and then maybe they go out and get another veteran wide receiver to complement those guys too.
They brought in Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins, if he doesn't pull a hamstring in training camp, which he's been known to do. But
Sammy Watkins,
that's going to be a tough one.
Because it's the stiffest challenge. Like, opening night, that's a hard challenge. It's a rough one.
I will be in that stadium that night, so hopefully I don't leave with a bad taste in my mouth. But first game in Vegas with fans in there, and that's a huge game if the Raiders can figure out how to win that one. But the good news is Gus Bradley has had success against Lamar Jackson and scheming him up, you know, using 6 and 7 defensive backs to combat the speed. The problem is they're just going to turn around and hand the ball off if the Raiders try to do that in this game. Lamar Jackson was a rookie in the playoffs, making his first playoff start when the Chargers went in there and beat them. But it's going to be really interesting to see how the Raiders line up defensively. And then, you know, when I break down the film, I'm not going to take a lot from it defensive scheme-wise, because it's probably going to be a scheme that's tailored just for the Ravens game. We're not going to see what we'll see a majority of the season after that. So it's a huge matchup, and it's going to be a very interesting one to break down after the fact.
And I think them adding Alejandro Villanueva to play right tackle is interesting, because that's a career left tackle. And if you have a right tackle with good feet, really can't it's not a trap game as the first game. It's a concern game. It is definitely a concern game, because this could either go a couple ways. You could see Gus Bradley's defense actually blanketing Jackson. It's becoming an old-school slugfest. Or you could see Jackson breaking contain and going crazy,
which is what normally happens.
In
the old days, this could be the Yannick Ngakoue revenge tour game one, though. Hopefully he comes to play.
That's true. You know, he signed a team-friendly deal, so every game is important, because every game that he succeeds is probably a zero or two on that next paycheck. Now,
did you I would say on that topic, did you just see the picture of him on Instagram that he posted within the last day or two?
Mm-hmm.
He's bulked up. He says he's 258 pounds. He's got some big biceps on him. He's been in the weight room. He's not 240, 245 that he's played at in the past. So I don't know if that's something the Raiders have asked him to do, but he's been getting after it in the weight room. He's pushing 260 now. 258 is what he said he was at. When you get bored, look that up.
Ben, that strikes me as a three-down lineman. I don't see him rotating out in a sub-packages. So that means that will probably kick Farrell inside.
I would think on passing down. Yeah.
Now, when you look at this, what is the trap game, the one game you look at as far as the one game you're like, oh, boy, this is going to be a problem?
Well, the trap game for me is, I don't think it's going to be early. I think the Raiders are going to know what they're looking at when you're facing Baltimore Pittsburgh, Miami, then you get divisional opponent, then you have the Bears, the Broncos. I still think it's the Giants. They're coming off a bye. It's a 10 o'clock game in November, and then you have the Chiefs game, the first Chiefs game. Remember, they don't play them early in the season this year. So depending on how those first six or seven games go, if the Raiders can get some wins against the Chargers and the Broncos and build some momentum in division, they're going to have that Chiefs game circled. That game is at home on Sunday night. But coming off the bye, they have to go cross country and play the New York football Giants at a 10 a.m. kickoff. I think that's the trap game, which is why I said earlier, I think it's a must-win game.
I agree. Now, if somebody wanted to interact with you on social media, how would they?
Yeah, they can just reach out to me. The handle is at rholm22. It's R-H-O-L-M-2-2.
Ryan Holm, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Full Press Raiders Podcast.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
This has been another episode of Full Press Raiders Podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.